Hello and welcome. You're listening to a podcast by Pastor Fred Thompson at Mount Gilead Baptist Church.
Hi, this is Pastor Fred Thompson. My family and I are on vacation today. And in my place, one of our elders, Jim Keel, will be bringing today's message. Please let God bless your heart through Jim's message as he shares with you from the life of Joseph and about making God the number one priority in your life.
I have studied Joseph many times through the years, and he is just phenomenal. In fact, some theologians say that he is more like Christ than any other person in Scripture. So Genesis 37, and if you've got a pen, years ago I thought it was almost sacrilegious to write in your Bible, but then I heard somebody say, no, that's a great study book. So if you've got a pen, I'm going to have you circle some things as we go through this. Now, we're not going to read all four chapters. I'm going to hit highlights. How many of you recognize the name Leonard Bernstein? How many of you recognize that name? Okay. For those of you younger, he actually passed away in 1990, but he was, for a number of years, the conductor of the New York Philharmonic Orchestra, a great composer and conductor. And one time someone asked him, he says, Mr. Bernstein, you've been in music a long time, you've been a conductor a long time. What's the most difficult instrument to play? And he didn't hesitate very long, and he said, well, that's pretty easy. It's second fiddle. He said, everybody wants to be first chair. Everybody wants to have the limelight on them, wants to be able to be seen that they've got this solo that they're playing or whatever. But he says, I have trouble getting people to play second fiddle. None of us want to play second fiddle. We all want to be number one. You notice the title of the message today is Surrendered. Surrendered. I am number two. You know, when we look at ball teams on TV, basketball teams and football teams, what do you see at the end of the game when they've won? We're number one! But God calls us, as we'll see today in the life of Joseph, and as we saw in the life of Jesus, He wants us to be number two. He wants us to surrender, to give it all. It's all for Him. It's not for us. Give it up. Now, what does second fiddle mean? If you look at on your handout there, second fiddle actually means to lead out in giving honor to someone else. In other words, by my example, I show somebody else how to surrender, how to be a servant. Jesus said, I came to serve, not to be served, and to give my life as a ransom for many. How do we do that? We're going to look at just four chapters of Joseph. There is more written about him than any other person in Scripture except Jesus. And if you look at his life in Scripture, there's not one bad thing that God says about Joseph. Wow. I can't have that said about my life. But let's look at the life of Joseph, and he was second. I've given you a scripture there before we get into the main crux of the message, Romans 12:10. In the New King James Version, in talking about servants and surrendering, it says, "Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another." Now here's a neat thing. In the Message version, which is not literal, it says, be good friends who love deeply, practice playing second fiddle. practice putting somebody else ahead of me. And we'll see how Joseph did that. I wish we had time that we could go through his entire life, because it's an amazing life. Now, I've intentionally skipped the parts where I cry a lot, because you can't read the story of Joseph without weeping. And just seeing the anguish he went through as his brothers hated him. And we are going to talk about that. And they got to a point where they wanted to kill him. And then he kicked him out of the house and sent him far away. But later on in his life, when the brothers were afraid of how Joseph would treat them, because now he was in a position of authority that he could kill them. He could have had their lives right then before what they did. And he said, "It wasn't you that sent me here. It was God." And he had a higher purpose. He's using me to save you. Wow. And that's what Jesus said as well. So let's get into the crux of it. We're going to start his life as number two. We're going to see in chapter 37, and we'll read verses 3 through 11, how Joseph enters into the history of Scripture. Starting with verse 3. Now Israel, that's also Jacob, for those of you that can, and like me, get kind of confused. Israel loved Joseph more than all his children. Let me stop right there. Joseph was the 11th son out of 12. The 11th son, and he loved him more. Why? Well, it tells us right next door. Because he was the son of his old age, he also made him a tunic of many colors. We've all heard of the coat of many colors. This was a coat of honor. This was something that was kind of like given to kings to show that they were special. And Israel, Jacob, wanted to show to everybody, "This is my special son." Wow. The 11th. But when his brothers, verse 4, when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him. Now, please note, up here, you'll see where it says they hated him. They saw him as an enemy. They saw him as an enemy. That's how much the hate was. He wasn't a brother. He was an enemy. They hated him and could not speak peaceably about him. Is there anybody that you don't like that you have trouble saying something nice about? Hard to talk nice about somebody you don't care for, isn't it? Well, they couldn't. They couldn't even speak anything nice about him. Now Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. Throw fuel on the fire. They hated him even more. So he said to them, "Please, come here. Hear this dream which I dreamed. There we were, binding sheaves in the field. Then behold, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And indeed your sheaves stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf." And his brothers said to him, "Shall you indeed reign over us?" Now, let me interject something here. He's 17 years old at the time. How do you think his brothers felt? "This teenage whippersnapper is going to rule over me?" I don't think so. So they hated him even more. In other words, it's getting more intense. The hate is growing. It's festering. Had anybody like that in your life? Somebody that did something to you that just ticked you off? And every time you were around them, they did something else that ticked you off? And you just got more and more upset with them, even to the point of rage? You know, we read stories about these people that go crazy, walk into a post office and just start blowing away their fellow workers. Why? Because that rage, it just kept going. It just kept getting hotter. Verse 11. Jealousy, and in your handouts there, jealousy may also rear its ugly head. And his brothers, it says, envied him, which is in this case another word for jealous. In other words, I want what you got. Why don't I deserve this? What makes you so special? You're the 11th son here, and you're only 17. Jealous. Hate leads to jealousy, oftentimes. And if these emotions are left unchecked, oftentimes, as I said a little earlier, murder in our heart, murder may result. Remember what Jesus said? He said, the commandment says, thou shalt not murder. But I say, if you even hate your brother, you've done the same thing. You're guilty of the same sin. They wanted to kill him. So the stage is set for not so nice of things to happen. Joseph had another dream, and that just kept it going. You know, he told him. And by the way, let me say this about dreams. You and I have dreams, right? But in this time of history and in this culture, dreams meant something. They were prophecies of things that were going to happen in the future. And the brothers knew this. And they didn't want that, because they had ideas of how this was all going to work out. I don't think Joseph understood. He's 17 years old. How do you understand at 17 what's going on? He didn't. So now he's been number two, and now we're going to look at him going from two to zero. Back to two, and then to sub-zero. I mean, he's at two in his father's house, and in a little bit he's going to go, as we see what his brothers do to him, he's going to go to a zero, and then he'll rise up to another number two, and something happens, which we'll talk about here in a little bit, and then he goes down to what almost seems to be below zero. It can't get any worse than this, can it? Ever had that happen in your life? Ever had something happen, what I like to call junk? Have a junk happen, and okay, you get through the junk and things start going along, and then some more junk comes, and that junk might be worse than the first junk. Part of life. I heard one guy say once, he said, if you're walking with the Lord, you're either headed into a situation, you're in the situation, or you're just coming out of the situation. That's life. That's the challenges that we have. Verses 1 through 4 in chapter 39. By the way, chapter 38 is not about Joseph. It's about his family. And Joseph is now off. He's been sold by his brothers into slavery. They didn't kill him. They sold him into slavery. We'll get rid of him. And he went to Egypt. Egypt wasn't real close to the promised land. A couple hundred miles away, it's kind of estimated. We'll get rid of him. Okay, we don't want to kill him. But one of the brothers came up with a plan. He says, hey, listen. Let's sell him into slavery. Let's make some profit out of this. You know, we'll do something. We won't kill him. So they sold him into slavery. So now let's look what happens. Sometime later, we don't know exactly how long, but sometime later after he's sold into slavery. Chapter 39, verses 1 through 4. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard. Let me interject something here. Many believe he was the chief executioner. He was not a nice man, okay? He was not a nice man. He had a tough job. His job, Pharaoh didn't like you. You did something that deserved capital punishment. He took care of it. This guy was tough. He was an Egyptian. That's a whole nother lesson there. Bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. Key phrase. You might want to underline this one. The Lord was with Joseph. Now, we know that Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible. But Joseph, now Moses came hundreds of years later, but Joseph had to record this somehow. And so Joseph is telling what's going on in his life. And we don't know if he recognized it now, probably not. But at some point he knew the Lord was with him. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful. Now, what's that mean? That means he prospered. What he did as a slave, prospered. He progressed. In other words, he started out as this low slave, and he rose in the ranks in his master's house, and he advanced. He was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian, and his master saw that the Lord was with him. Stop just a minute. Here's Joseph going through junk, hundreds of miles away from home, abandoned by his family. The father he loved dearly is taken out of his life, and yet his service to his master made an impression on the master so great that the master said, I see why he's prospering. It's the Lord. Now, his master was an Egyptian who worshipped many gods, but he saw something in Joseph. There's a lesson for you and me. If you're put in a situation, you say, oh, I lost my job, my spouse left me, I've got a kid in trouble. Do the people around you say, wow, the Lord's with that person? They did Joseph. His master saw that. There was something different about him. And that the Lord made all. Circle that word all if you're doing things in your Bible. I love to circle the word all because then there's no question. It's not some or a few or many. It's all. All he did to prosper in his hand. He had the Midas touch. Everything he touched turned to gold. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had, he put under his authority. Joseph became so trusted. He was such a great servant. The master saw the Lord was with him, and the master said, wow, you're in charge, buddy. After me, that's it. Whatever you say goes in my house. Now, this was a top Egyptian official. This is not some low person. This is somebody that's got some rank. Put him in control. So now he's number two again. He's gone from zero. Now he's number two again. And things are going along hunky-dory. I think I missed. No, I didn't. I'm ahead of myself here. Second point there under B. Even when the Lord is with us, bad things still happen. You ever wondered that? Why do good things happen to bad things happen to good people? I'm doing everything you tell me to do, Lord. I'm serving you. My heart is right. Why do bad things happen? Sometimes we never know. Joseph found out later. Let's read verses 7 through 9 and then 19 through 20. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph, and she said, lie with me. But he refused and said to his master's wife, look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no one greater in this house than I am, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. Now, he's talked on a practical matter. Look, I can't do this. He's given me all this trust, but now look how he ends it. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? He knew, practically, I can't do this because my master trusts me, but on a spiritual realm, I can't sin against God. How can I do this to God and all he's done for me? And Joseph would not do so. Well, his master's wife, we won't read about this, but his master's wife doesn't say, okay, that's enough, I won't do it anymore. She did. Some believe it, excuse me, this happened over a year's time. Time after time, the temptation is just rolling in, getting stronger and stronger. Now, I know in my own life, and Donna will confirm this, food is a big temptation for me. And I can say no so long, and then all of a sudden, look out. But here's Joseph for a year. No, no, no. So now the wife plans the final. I'm going to get him this time. She takes everybody out of the house. All the servants are out of the house. She sets it up that it's just she and Joseph. Just the two of them are in the house. Oh, this will surely work. Well, he says no again, takes off running, and now she accuses him. Look at verses 7 through 9. Excuse me, 19 and 20. So it was when his master heard the words which his wife spoke to him, saying, "Your servant did this to me." In other words, he's gone. Now she's foisting a lie on him. She's telling her husband what's happened. That his anger was aroused. I'm sorry. Now, there's a dispute here between theologians. Some believe that that Potiphar, the master, was angry with Joseph. Some believe that Potiphar was angry with his wife because he knew what kind of a woman she was. This was not the first time that this had happened. So we're not sure. This one particular commentary says he was angry at Joseph. Then Joseph's master took him and put him into prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined. How many of you have seen... Oh, all of a sudden it's gone blank. The Count of Monte Cristo, that's it. How many of you have seen The Count of Monte Cristo or read the book or know anything about it? Okay. In that, the man who became the count, was put into prison on an island. And he's pleading with the warden saying, "I'm innocent. I didn't do anything." He says, "I know. Of course you are." He says, "This is where they send the prisoners that they're ashamed of, that they don't want anybody to see." And this is the kind of prison that Joseph was sent to. He was sent to the king's prison, where they didn't want anything to do with him. So now he's not zero anymore. He's sub-zero. He's in the prison. He's probably as low as you can get because he's been falsely accused. Now think of this. He's in a land that's not his own. He's away from his family. He's served this man with everything he's got. The man has recognized it, elevated him to number two in a very prominent position in the country. Done everything he's supposed to do. Now he's wrongly accused and he's in prison. How many people at this point in their lives would say, "I'm finished with God. Forget it. I've done everything you've told me to do, and look how you've treated me." Somebody was telling me just in a Bible study yesterday that I was in. He said he talked to a guy, this guy told him, he says, "I've given up on God. He killed my dad when I was a young boy. I've given up." Joseph didn't. He could have. Very easily. He could have said, "That's it. I'm done. God's out of my life." But he didn't. He kept going. If we stay with the Lord, he stays with us. He stays with us. We may not say, "Lord, where are you? It's quiet. I'm crying out to you." I'm doing an Oswald Chambers study for my devotions right now, and he talks about that time. And he says what God said to Satan: "Have you considered my servant Job?" Think of all Job went through. And God said, "Have you considered him?" Well, when we take it in perspective, probably none of us have gone through what Job went through. Might feel like it sometimes, but no. "Have you considered my servant Job?" So now he's in prison, abandoned. We're going to go to chapter 40. The first three verses. Oh, whoops, I think I failed to say something. Did I? Hold on. Yes. 21 and 22. "But the Lord was with Joseph." Oh my. There it is again. Underline that phrase. "But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hands all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever they did there, it was his doing." He was faithful to God, and God was faithful to him. I don't know how long a time that was. Not important. But he kept serving and serving and surrendering and surrendering, and God elevated him up. Now, I would say that number two here is not the same as number two in Potiphar's house, okay? It's not the same number two, but it's still a number two. He is serving. He is surrendering to the man who is in authority over him. I'm going to be number two. I'm going to be the best number two I can. Boy, I tell you, that's a lesson it's taken me years to learn. And sometimes I still struggle with being number two. Because I had this desire, especially in high school. I wanted to be the student council president. And I didn't get it. I was the vice president. I was a terrible vice president. Because I didn't know the importance of serving. To serve. I didn't think this man that young man that became the president was even worthy. But God started teaching me then. I didn't know it at the time. It was a long time later to be the best number two that I could be. Now, let's go to chapter 40. First three verses. And by the way, here's what I want you to hear. We're going from sub-zero to number two again. But this number two is going to be awesome. This is a number two like no other number two. God's ways are different. Came to pass after these things that the butler, this is verse 1 of chapter 40, that the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was angry with his two officers, the chief butler and the chief baker. So he put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard in the prison, the place where Joseph was confined. Now, probably at the time, Joseph had seen many prisoners. These two were different, obviously, because they were king's servants. They served Pharaoh. They were pretty high-ranking officials. Why would they be in my prison? Okay, no big deal at the time. See, God is bringing across your life and my life everyday people that we don't even know why they're in our lives. But one of the things he keeps teaching me is pay attention. There's a reason. There's a reason I brought that person across your path today. What did you say to them? How did you treat them? What did you do for them? Did you open a door so they could go in? Did you get something for them? Because remember, our example impacts other people. And they don't even have to know us. These two people didn't know Joseph. He was just some guy in the prison. Now, we won't read that story, but these two guys have dreams. Dreams again. There's some dreams back in Joseph's life. These two guys have dreams, and they're troubled because they can't figure out what the dream means. Now, they know dreams mean something too, but they can't figure out what it means. So Joseph says, well, tell me what your dreams are. And they told him. The one guy, he says, okay, here's what that means. You're going to get out, and you're going to be back in your position. The other guy, he says, okay, here's what's going to happen. You're going to get out too. But then the king's going to use you as an example, and he's going to hang you. Wouldn't like to be the bearer of that meaning of the dream, but he did. And he says one thing. I think that's something I want to read. Yes. No. He asks for a favor. He says, now listen, I've told you some good stuff that's going to happen to you, Chief Butler, who's also called the wine taster. He says, I've told you that you're going to be free. He says, listen, I'm in here, and I'm not supposed to be in here. I'm from this far land, and here's what happened to me, and then I was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife. I shouldn't even be in here. Would you do me a favor, just one favor for what I've done for you? Would you do me just one favor? Would you put in a good word for me so I can get out? Oh, my. That's a pretty simple request, right? Somebody comes along, okay, I got it figured out. I know how God's going to work. Have you ever, anybody else figured out how God's going to work in your life? Yeah, okay, I know how you're going to do this, God. And usually, when I say usually, about 99.5% of the time, it doesn't happen that way. So Joseph had it figured out. Okay, I know how I'm going to get out. I'm going to tell this guy, okay, you do this for me, and then I'll get out. Now let's look what happened. And by the way, verse 23 or the input there in section C, God's plans are so much higher than our own. He's got something in store for each one of us in this room. Do you know you're here today not by accident? You're here today for a purpose. God brought you here. He brought me here. Fred's on vacation. And Fred says, hey, Jim, would you speak? And he gave me this message. This is not my message. This is his message. For a purpose. Verse 23, yet the chief butler did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. In fact, if you look, it says the forgot actually means cease to care. Joseph had served his purpose. I'm free. Who's Joseph? He's just this guy in the prison. Forgot him. The guy that predicted what was going to happen. You know, the worst case of forgetfulness on my part that I'm aware of. Now, I've probably forgotten something I'm not aware of. But I remembered something 2 weeks later that I was supposed to do. And have you ever had that happen? You go, oh my. I can't even remember what it was anymore. That's how bad my forgetfulness is. They say that's a sign of, you know, there are three things that are a sign of old age. The first one is that you forget more often, and I can't remember the other two. He forgot him for, well, he forgot him. We'll see for how long. Now, here comes the end of the movie. This is, I mean, I just jump. If you see, this is almost like, this really didn't happen. This is a story. This is too good. Some great writer came up with this ending. No, this happened. We're going from two to two. I mean, he's number two in the prison, but he's going to be two. That's why I put in all capital letters, two. First verse, chapter 41. Then it came to pass. Again, we don't know how long. Well, yes, we do. I'm sorry, getting ahead of me. It came to pass at the end of 2 full years. Now, we didn't go over this before, but when Joseph predicted the outcome of these dreams, it was actually Pharaoh's birthday. So now it's Pharaoh's birthday again. Special time, because they threw a birthday party. When the king has a birthday party, they throw a big birthday. So it's his birthday. Pharaoh had a dream. There's that dream again. Funny how things just keep repeating themselves, isn't it? Happens in our lives too. God oftentimes brings repetition because he's gifted each one of us with a special gift, and he wants us to use that gift. He reminded me of that recently. You've got a gift, and here's the gift I want you to use, and he's got a gift for each one of us in this room, and he wants you to use it. Don't sit there and say, okay, I'm not that good. He's got a gift. Some of you have multiple gifts. Verse 9. Pharaoh has these dreams. He's upset. I can't understand these dreams. Now look. Then the chief butler told his dream to Joseph. I'm sorry. Whoops. Pardon me. Wrong one. Then the chief butler spoke to Pharaoh, saying, I remember my faults this day. Now what's that mean? It means, ding, the light came on. Oh my goodness, how could have I have forgotten? I remember 2 years ago, this guy told me the meaning of my dream to a T, and he told the meaning of the baker to a T. Pharaoh, maybe he can do the same for you. So sometimes the timing's not right in our lives, but in God's life it's perfect. It's it happens exactly when he wants it to happen. Not too soon, not too late. Right on time. I've gotten money in the mail right on time, pay a bill. I go, but right on time, in God's perfect timing, the wine taster, the chief butler, remembered what was going on, remembered what Joseph had done for him. Verse 14, meaning a king must be on his terms. You know, when I read this, here's the thought I had. Someday, each one of us in this room are going to meet the king. And there's only one way to meet the king. We can't come in our way. That's what Adam and Eve tried to do. You know what the first sin is? And what the sin of the world today is? God, I'm going to do it my way. That's the ultimate sin. It said Jesus died for the sin of the world. If you look at that, it's so neat. It's not sins, although he did cover, his death did cover our sin, but he died for the sin of the world. That sin was you and me and all mankind wanting to do God our way. Wow. But here, from this little verse in Scripture, verse 14 in chapter 41, it says, then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him quickly out of the dungeon, and he shaved, changed his clothes, and came to Pharaoh. In other words, he cleaned up. Now, he cleaned up according to how they knew, the officials, the servants of Pharaoh, how they knew that Joseph needed to meet the king. On the king's terms, not on Joseph's. Joseph could say, hey, I'm good. I'm good. Yeah, I look a little rough around the edges, but I'm good. No, on his terms, on the king's terms. Verse 28, when God works in and through you, make sure to give him all the credit. This is so precious. Let's read verse 28. Joseph has given the meaning of the dreams. And verse 28 says, this is the thing which I have spoken to Pharaoh, God. Now, I thought, you know, there are different names for God. Which one is this one? I thought, okay, I'll look it up. This is Elohim. Elohim. That means the true God. And that's what Joseph was witnessing to the Pharaoh. I'm telling you, Pharaoh, this is the true God that has revealed this to me. None of your pagan gods here in Egypt. The true God has revealed this to me. And he has shown Pharaoh what he's about to do. Those dreams you had, Pharaoh, here's what's coming. Here's what's happening. And the true God has told me. Now think of this. Here's Joseph. He's in prison. All of a sudden, some guards come and say, hey, come here. Pharaoh wants to see you. What's he want to see me about? I had about some dream or something. I'm not sure. Come on. Come on. Get cleaned up. Get the shower. Get shaved. We got to change your clothes for you here. Get in here. Come on. Hurry up. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Don't make the Pharaoh wait. Comes before Pharaoh. Pharaoh tells him the dream, and God in his majesty reveals immediately through Joseph what's going on. It can only be God. So Joseph gave God credit. The message, I think, for all of us in this room is, do we give God credit? Hey, that was a good pie you baked. Hey, wow, that was a great meeting you conducted. Hey, that was a fill in the blank. Thank you. Praise the Lord for it. It's all him, it's not me. And that's what Joseph did. Hey, God. It wasn't me. There's nothing special about me. I'm just God's messenger. He just told me what to tell you. Verse 33. God will continue to work through you if you let him. Sometimes we think we've reached a certain age. God's finished with me. I've heard people, my mother. Many of you know my mother was here in late March, April. We discovered she had a terminal illness while she was here, and she kept saying to me, and she turned 90 while she was here, she kept saying, Jim, why am I still here? Why didn't just God take me? Not finished with you yet, Mom. At the right time, he'll take you. Same thing was true with Joseph. He knew God wasn't finished speaking through him to Pharaoh. So look at verse 33. Now therefore, let Pharaoh select a discerning and wise man and set him over the land. Now again, Joseph didn't know what was going on. He was called into this room, but all of a sudden, God's just, okay, through Joseph, he says, hey, listen, you got to select somebody that knows how to take care of this prosperity first and then the famine that's coming. Don't just pick somebody because they've been in your court for 10 years and, you know, they got seniority. You got to pick somebody that knows what to do here. Now, let's look at the last two verses. These, oh my. And by the way, fill in the blank there, God's ways are beyond my imagination. Do you think that Joseph had any idea what was now going to happen? Not in a million years, because remember, he had one desire. I just want to go home. Can you imagine how many nights he's on his knees saying, God, let me go home. Why am I here? He had no idea what was going to happen. None. Verses 38 and 39. And Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find such a man as this? A man in whom the Spirit of God... Now, again, here's Pharaoh recognizing this is the true God. This is not one of our gods. This is the true God that indwells Joseph. Can we find such a man? Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, inasmuch as God, again the true God, has shown you all this, there's no one as discerning and wise as you. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall be ruled according to your word. Only in regard to the throne will I be greater than you. He's in prison, and in a few hours he's number two in the world. But God had prepared him from being number two as a 17-year-old boy to 13 years later. He's now 30. He's number two in the world. CNN reported that Joseph was an overnight success. I read a story recently about a Hollywood actor who was very successful. His name is Hugh Jackman. He played in... what did he play in, Dave? X-Men. And he had all this success. And they said, hey, how did you become such an overnight success? And he said, overnight? I wish you'd have walked with me the last 17 years. It's not overnight. Same way with Joseph. He wasn't an overnight success. This didn't happen overnight. This happened because all along the way, he was willing to surrender and be number two. So I have three questions for you as we close. What's the junk in your life? We all got it. Now I could share some junk that's going on in my life right now. We all got it. What's the junk in your life? Has this junk been stumbling blocks or stepping stones in your journey? Too oftentimes, I must confess to you, it's been a stumbling block for me instead of a stepping stone, instead of getting me to the next portion in my life where the Lord wants me. And then finally, what's He saying right now? What's He saying to you? Not your neighbor, not your wife, not your husband, not your kids. What's He saying to you? What's He want you to do? Now, the only way that we can know what the Lord is saying is if we know Him. You know, for the first 31 years of my life, I was a churchgoer, but I didn't know Him. I was just going to church. And then I heard somebody say, went to a conference, somebody said, you know, He wants to have a personal relationship with you. He wants to know you as a friend. And I thought, well, never tried that before. Let's try that. Radically changed. Not on the outside. I was pretty much the same on the outside, but on the inside. and constantly changing on the inside. So first question I'm going to ask you is, do you have that relationship? Do you know him personally? Have you ever said, yes, Lord, it's about you, not about me? I'm willing to be number two to you. I'm willing to put you number one in my life. One of my brothers went through a divorce a number of years ago, and he would call. He was out of state, and just cry. We'd cry together. And he said, Jim, one time I'm in the car driving, it's raining, tears are rolling down my face, and I just said, Lord, I need you. I need you. I said, Bob, that's all he was waiting for. There's no special prayer. Oh, you got to pray this and da, da, da. I need you. Simple as that. I need you. Be number one in my life. Now, for those of you that have done that, maybe God's saying to you this morning, hey, I'm not number one anymore in your life. So maybe that's the decision you need to make today. Let him be number one. Totally. I read a book years ago and it said that if he's not Lord of all, then he's not Lord at all. Oh, I didn't want to hear that. I got to give up everything? Yeah, everything. He's got to be in control of everything? Yeah, everything. So let's just close with that. And maybe you want somebody to pray with you. A couple of elders are here. I'll be glad to pray with you this morning. But what's God saying to you? I'm going to ask Tara to come. And she said to me before, she says, What do you want me to pray? I said, well, that's easy. Because my message is about surrender. I surrender all. I surrender all. It's all yours. Whatever the junk, it's all yours. It's all for your purposes. You know, Romans 8:28 says, for all things work together for good. Work together, not in themselves, by themselves, but work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purposes. They all work together. So let them be obedient. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. So let's bow in prayer and see what God wants to do. Father, thank you for this message, not because I gave it, but because it's a message for all of us. And Lord, I pray right now for every person in this room, from the oldest to the youngest, that whatever you're saying to their hearts, whatever, that they will allow you to be Lord of all, to surrender to you, to be number two, because you're the best number one that we could have. And I pray it in Jesus' name.
Thank you for tuning in. If you're ever in the Griffin area, we would love to have you come visit us at 10:45 on Sunday mornings. Our location is 14550 Highway 19 South in Griffin, Georgia. I hope you have a wonderful day. And remember, God loves you.